Blog Talk Radio.
Global Village. Get ready as we explore the expansiveness of human consciousness, discuss mystical experiences, and chat with intriguing guests on the unexplained, the mystical, and the supernatural. Remember to call in with your questions live on air, because Dr. Douglas is one of those rare individuals, like Edgar Cayce, Paul Solomon, and Ross Peterson, who found a way to access an energetic merge point where all consciousness and knowledge is shared. Scientists are now calling this the quantum field. So relax, listen in, and let's journey through the Global Village.
Welcome to the show, my friends. I'm Douglas James Cottrell. I'm your host tonight, and my good friend Doug Bentley is here, co-hosting and holding down the fort with me. It is Friday the 13th. Now, when I was younger, I used to hear that. There was always some intrepidation. There was, you know, this implication that Friday the 13th was was not a good day. And so tonight, we are going to explore here on Friday the 13th, the question, are superstitions the power of mass suggestion, or is Friday the 13th just an unlucky day? The concept of superstitions bring good and bad luck, that concept has existed for a millennium. Some of the well-known superstitions of today began their existence in ancient Babylon. Did you know that? Let's look at today, Friday the 13th, and how superstitions affect us and why. You know, is it part of the way we are now, or has the internet wiped out that concern? You know, is the internet positive, and that these superstitions like Friday the 13th being a lucky or unlucky day for you and for some people who look forward to Friday the 13th. Certainly in my neck of the woods here in the world, there's a Friday the 13th meetup for motorcycle fanatics. They go to a certain place here in near Lake Erie, and they hang out on Friday the 13th. I think there's about five of them in a year, or at least two or three. I'm not sure. Maybe Doug could check that for me. And anyway, we find that these people routinely show up at this place, which I'm not going to mention just because, you know, no particular reason, but I've not been there ever in my life. I used to drive a motorcycle when I was a teenager, and always was going to do those things. But as you know, best intentions never happen. And, you know, now that I'm a little older, I wonder why would people do that in this kind of weather. But today they had a show up, I guess you could call it, a drive-in in the area, the town that they go to, mostly with automobiles, I'm pleased to report. But I saw in the news tonight that there were people sitting there on their motorcycles in the snow. That's dedication. So more power to them. Have you taken to wearing any Lucky Charms, or if you have a one of those fetishes about, you know, you don't take your baseball socks off, or you wear that lucky jersey or baseball cap or piece of sporting equipment, lucky tennis racket or something like that. Do you have that as something to give you the edge when you're playing or having recreation or even competing? What do you do for luck? What do you attempt to avoid for the unlucky times? And do you have a lucky coin in your pocket? We want to know. The number to call, 718-766-4421. Again, 718-766-4421. You're listening to the Global Village Radio Show. We're broadcasting worldwide here on the Blog Talk Network. And I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, and Doug Bentley joins me as my co-host tonight. And how are you doing tonight on this fortunate Friday the 13th, Doug? How are you?
I'm fine. I'm one of the rare people that consider Friday the 13th to be lucky because there's so few of them. In fact, this year there were only two. One this month and one in October, as far as I know.
When I played football, there were people that absolutely wanted that number 13. Do you think that that's got something to go with it? Like you're making reference that, you know, you're fortunate. Are you one of those people that looks for number 13 as a lucky number?
No, I don't. But I have my own opinion about what should we call them?
Mm-hmm.
Superstitions involving objects. I think if you regard them as being positive, then they will have a positive effect on you. The only thing is, if you happen to lose them, then you can't go into spasms of regret and terror because you've lost them. I think it's a matter of just your mindset.
Well, okay, so we're going to give score tonight, my friends. That was the matter of superstition, something along the lines of is it mass hypnosis? Is it mass suggestion? Is there such a thing as superstitions are part of being you have some suggestion, some invisible or unknown suggestion, and that's why they're there. But they go back in times. I mean, this goes back to the time of Babylon and other things. Something in the human psyche says that there are superstitions that we listen to. Everybody knows about the one with the black cat. That goes back to Egypt. Did you know that? That's where a black cat, if you come across one and it crosses your path, that's supposed to mean that you have bad luck for the rest of the day. And then there's that famous one about breaking a mirror. How many times have you heard that one? If you break a mirror, you're going to have 7 years of bad luck. Who invented that one? Oh, my God. Well, what is your favorite superstition, or what is it that you find intriguing about superstition? That's the name of the show tonight, and we're going to have a look at some of the weirdest superstitions from around the world, and we're going to try to figure out where they came from. And that is to say, is we can reach back with your help, my friends out there. And are there good superstitions out there? You know, we talk a lot about unlucky Friday the 13th, but again, some people think it's just amazingly lucky for them, the number 13. They refer to the Christ and the 12 disciples as 13. And the number 13 shows up in a lot of folklore and references and cliches as a pretty good number. What do you think? You know, call in and let us know. We're going to talk about some of these things. And we're going to talk a little bit about mass suggestion or the power of suggestion. And, you know, that number 13 is in 2005, an American romantic comedy directed by Chris Hall. That's what it was called. It was a movie. And it was lucky. So what do you think? Call in and let us know what you think about lucky number 13 or today's Friday the 13th being a day of caution. So far, my day's going okay. How about yours? You know, let us know. Call in 718-766-4421. We're going to go right to the phones after we talk a little bit more about some of the weirdest superstitions that are around the world. And we'll go to Chicago and a couple other places. The number to call is 718-766-4421. We'll be right back after a short break.
You think about you and your family's health every minute, every day, not just when sick. We believe healthcare should bring results and rejuvenate the body. That's why Dr. Douglas James Cottrell compiled some of his best tips from his readings into a book, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Volume 1. From nutrition, anti-aging, and skincare to serious disorders and diseases like autism, PTSD, and cancer. Find out more at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or buy a copy on Amazon today.
Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must-read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom.
Opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
Welcome back to the Global Village with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley.
Welcome back, everyone. As we said, Friday the 13th seems to be not so seriously feared as it used to be when I was a teenager. There seems to be a watering down, a watershed taking place, and Friday the 13th seems to be almost passé. But is it? Well, as I said, there's some weird superstitions from around the world. Here's one from Spain. While Friday the 13th is considered unlucky in many countries, in Spain, it's actually Tuesday the 13th that is unlucky. And this is why you should never, never, never get married or travel on a Tuesday that lands on the 13th. Interesting fact. Oh, my gosh. Hey, in Poland, you should have no bags lying around on the ground in Poland because it is believed, this is a superstition, that if you leave your bag unattended, money can easily jump out from there. The Polish also have an interesting history of superstitions surrounding death and funerals. Some believe that if there is a death, you should bury the body before the next Sunday or else another death in your circle will soon follow. Here's one in Great Britain. If you see a magpie in Great Britain, you better greet them politely. Good morning, Mr. Magpie. How is your lady wife today? Forget this little greeting and bad luck will follow you for the rest of the day. This tradition probably comes from the fact that magpies are usually found in pairs, so a lone magpie signifies sadness. If you add one for sorrow, two for joy, to your greeting, you'll further ensure that the magpie will be friendly and won't steal any of your shiny belongings. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Here's one in Germany. Und you better leave this one. In Germany, you can't congratulate a person before their actual birthday. Did you know that, Doc? This superstition goes back to the belief that This superstition goes back to the belief that demons can hear the good wishes and consequently do their best to make them not come true. But even when it's midnight and you're finally allowed to congratulate your German friends, party-related danger still lurks around the corner. When you make a toast to them, and you'll have to look everyone straight in the eye when you clink glasses, the superstition. This way, you make sure that, A, there's no poison in your drink, the origin of this superstition, and B, your love life won't be ruined for the next several years. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's go down
That's
here to Russia.
Stuff.
You should have. That is serious stuff. That is our German friends. In Russia, you should avoid going back to your house if you forgot something. But I forgot my suitcase on my way to the airport. How did you manage to forget an entire suitcase? Okay, all right. If you have to go back, just make sure not to whistle inside or else you will anger the demons, the household demon landlord, I guess, and lose all of your money. Holy moly, talk about if you left your bag back or you forgot something. To avoid further enraging your demon in the house, you must sit on your suitcase to trick the demon into thinking that you won't be traveling for a while, and remember to always look into the mirror before you go back out. Now, that's a pretty complicated superstition if you just forgot something in the house. How about Japan? Counting can turn into dangerous business pretty quickly in Japan. The number four, for example, pronounced shi, can also mean death. This is why you should avoid gifts consisting of four things. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Four flowers, tableware in sets of four, at all other costs. Otherwise, or often, apartment buildings will skip the fourth floor and apartment numbers containing the number four for the same reason. You know, in Toronto, where I was born, there were apartment buildings that did not have the number 13 as the 13th floor. They skipped it. Well, here's something coming from Japan. It goes for the, okay, the number 9 is almost as bad because it's pronounced ku, K-U, the same as the word for suffering. Well, that's interesting. How about
well,
this
know,
superstition?
And the other
thing is, in Vietnam,
numerologically, 1 and 3 is 4. So I wonder if that has anything to do with Japan. And
well, they're just talking about the name. The numbers have the name S-H-I, I'm calling it she, to mean death,
okay. And
ku, K-U, to mean suffering. In Vietnam, skincare is almost spiritual. You should never sleep with makeup on your face, or demons might think you're one of them. Also, it's best to avoid doing any chores in the Lunar New Year. Sweeping or cleaning on such an important day could wipe away any good fortune for your family. Not the worst superstition if it means no chores, right? Well, there you go. Those are some weird superstitions from around the world. But, you know, there are some good ones. You know, knock on wood. How about that one? We have heard that one. Collecting a four-leaf clover, lucky dice, or a special gemstone. Have you got one of those out there, my friends? Do you have something that you keep very handy for yourself? I have a lucky coin in my pocket, and as long as I don't misplace it, it's still lucky. It stays in my pocket. Making a wish on a stray eyelash. I never heard that one. A falling star. That's a good thing. You make a wish on that. Wishing well, seeing a rainbow, or when blowing out the birthday candles. Did you know that? That's a superstition? Blowing out the candles on a birthday cake, Doug?
I did not know that. I thought it was just for fun. But so many things that I consider fun are actually superstitions. There's a lot of it in our lives.
Well, that's a custom I always thought. You know, you make a wish and you blow the candles, but it's a superstition. There, I've learned something tonight by reading this. There are what are three examples of superstitions, beliefs? Well, Friday the 13th, never open an umbrella inside your house. Crossing your fingers is a superstition. Making a wish on a wishbone is a superstition. knock on wood, we talked that. How's this one? 666. Is that a superstition or is that something more important? I think that one's in the good book.
It is.
And, of course, be careful with that mirror we talked about earlier. And also this one, bad luck comes in threes.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
My mother. That's my mother. Death's coming
threes. There you go.
Good things come in threes and tragedies come in threes. That was my mother.
That's right. And, you know, the number three is once in, not numerology, but talking about the number three. The number three is everywhere. And, you know, when people are explaining things, they'll say something ABC, you know, they'll say it's red and it's big and it's really comfortable. I haven't got a good example for that. But they will say the same thing and give three alternatives to it. And the number three seems to be really, really, really important in our expressions and how we communicate with people in that regard. We can't just say, you know, I sent the letter off and it was a letter that was well-written. We have to say it was a letter that was well-written, clearly define the issues, and it should be easily understood. Something like that. And anyway, there we go. I'm crossing your fingers is a superstition. Oh my gosh. Blowing out candles. Oh my gosh. The things we do without thinking. But again, there's got to be some something to this idea that we believe in these superstitious things. And as I've just mentioned now, and we've talked about that, we do them without even thinking. You know?
Oh, I know. I mean, I can think of a bunch of them, like not walking under a ladder. Well, I would only not avoid walking under a ladder if someone were painting or someone were up the ladder. So I can see some sense in that. You know, and in terms of mirrors, I could be wrong, but I always thought it was because they were so expensive in the past that it would be 7 years bad luck because they were so expensive. So I don't know.
Mm.
And Friday the 13th, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't that when the leader of the Templars, Jacques Mallet, was killed by the King of France?
Executed. I believe, so.
Yeah.
But like I said, the number 13 is, it seems to fall in history like that, very important, or experiences or events have happened. And again, you know, what do you believe, my friends? You know, let us know. Like I'm learning things that are blowing out candles is a superstition. Taking a wishbone and breaking it. You know, I remember that when I was a kid, you had to grab the bone with the little finger, and this is the little breastbone that comes out of a turkey, and the two of you would push it, and each hoping, or pull it, I say, and whoever got the biggest part in the middle, that would be the crown or the connection point, that would be, you would get your wish come true. And the person who got the small end of the stick didn't. Oh, gosh. Anyway, so that's our show tonight, talking about superstitions. But we're going to get around to some of the ideas of what is the meaning of you know, mass suggestion, the power of suggestion. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But let's go to the phones now. We have some people standing by. The number to call is 718-766-4421. Paul, where are we going to next?
We are going to Chicago, Illinois. We've got Carol on the line.
Hello, Carol. You're on the
Hello.
Air.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Carol from Chicago. Now, in
yes,
terms
Carol
of the black
Chicago.
Cat, in terms of the black cat, I think, I don't know if it's China, that the black cat is good luck. So it depends on how you were, you know, raised or what your culture is, that the black cat would be bad luck. But like I said,
that is true.
It is not.
In Japan, it's a sign. You're right on the money, Carol. In Japan, it's considered a sign of wealth and prosperity. Stage directors seeing a black cat in a theater on opening night meant your play would be a long and successful run. In ancient Egypt, black cats were revered and believed to represent Bassett, godless of fertility and childbirth. So there you go. Egypt and Japan, they got the black cat down as being really lucky. Do they have any powers?
Because as a child,
do they
I
have
was
black
raised
cats
up.
There?
Huh?
Go ahead. As a child, you were raised up what?
As a child, I was raised up that black cats were bad luck. But after I read about China or Japan, I suppose, now when I see them, I see good luck. Excuse me. I see good luck.
Okay.
So, I usually just...
Okay.
Pardon me?
So you've changed your view from black cats being... when your child being something to avoid, where now is they're not so bad, right?
Yeah, I see them as prosperity. I see them as beauty. I see them as good luck. That's how I see them now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in the Bible, they don't mention domestic cats at all. And they do mention other felines like wild cats and lions and other kinds of, let's say, beasts, but they're not pets. So if cats aren't mentioned in the Bible, that means they're okay, right? And they've got to be. But the cats that are mentioned in the Bible are you know, those lions and cheetahs, and I think they were chasing Francis of Assisi, two cheetahs, But lions in the Roman, you know, amphitheaters and stuff like that. Wow. But cultures that do like them, in the 19th century, black cats sightings were actually considered very good omens. The Irish believe that the black cat on your porch was good luck. And in Japan, as we already said, black cats are similarly revered as symbols of prosperity. So I guess it just matters where you are. I always think black cats are lucky, you know. They are lucky. And when you're driving along and they cross the street in front of you, if they get past the car, they're lucky. Okay.
They don't.
I had a black cat once.
If you run over them, it's not lucky, definitely.
That's really just kind of, I had a cat, and his name was Patches. He had a little bit of white on him. This is a true story. And we, yours truly, decided that he had some fleas on him. So I took, unfortunately, Dr. Sargent's flea powder that was for my dog or puppies, and I put it on this cat. Well, it didn't work out well. We had to rush the cat over to the emergency vet, who then wanted to do all kinds of tests. And I said, we know what the problem is. I put the wrong flea powder on the back of his neck. And they said, yes, sir, but we have to do blood tests and then x-rays, and we have to do this. And I said, how much? They said, $900. I said, no thanks. I'm sorry. I can't afford it. Kill the cat. And they looked at me like they didn't understand English. And I said, kill the cat. And they just said, well, went back to the receipt. Well, sir, we have to do these tests, and we have to do this, we have to do that. I said, we know what the problem is. He's got some toxic stuff on his back, on his skin, and he's having convulsions. He can't breathe. Either, you know, fix him up or kill the cat. Now, I was angry at them, and I was kind of hurt that I had mishandled this kitty cat. And this is why the kitty cat got to be named Lucky, because they didn't kill the cat. They gave him something, washed down whatever the skin problem was. They shaved him a little bit, and they came back and picked him up in a couple hours. And so we said, your name is now changed. I decree from Patches, you are now called Lucky. And so that cat stayed with us for years and years and years. And he didn't grow to be a big cat. He was like a medium-sized cat, I can call that. And the cat he walked around the house like a little princess here. He was just amazing. And every time I think of that, I think of that moment when they were wanting to overcharge me and take advantage of me because they wanted to conduct all these shows. They wanted to do blood work and they wanted to do x-rays and things like that, my friends. You know, when you hear that baloney, I understand their point of view too. I mean, the cat comes in, they got to do their test. But for $900, I thought, no, I can't afford this. And my psychology worked, in as much as they weren't going to kill a cat because they knew it was perfectly healthy. except that it had this, what would you call it, these convulsions caused by this poison or toxin in there, and he was going to be all right in a couple hours. So Lucky the Cat got to be called Lucky the Cat and stayed with us for a long, long, long time. So I'm wondering, you know, did Lucky the Cat have, you know, a fortuitous appearance in my life? Because things went pretty well for the longest time there. So, Carol, getting
well,
back
maybe
to when you...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, maybe he used up 8 of his 9 lives with that, and that's why he still survived.
No.
He still had 1 left. I'm joking, of course.
Now, Carol, what do you think about that? Cat has 9 lives. Hello, Carol.
Yes, and Dr. Cottrell, I was talking to Patrick O'Brien, and I took it upon myself to ask him. I said, would you like to be on Dr. Douglas James Cottrell's radio show? And he said, well, have him call me. I said, uh-oh. I said, uh-oh. So I don't know.
Yeah? Oh. Who was Well, sorry, you were talking to somebody again, and we'll take that down, and we'll take it down and call him back. Sure.
Okay. Now, who do I give the number? Do I give the number to you, or what?
No. If Paul will take it, he'll put you in the green room, and we'll take the numbers and the name off air, so we don't broadcast that out. Okay. But anyway,
it'll be interesting for you to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got your package here, by the way, and I opened it up, by the way, and thank you very much.
Well, you're not thanking me. I'm not thanking you, though.
It's
yeah,
unlucky
well.
To say thank you to people, obviously, right?
Yeah. Are you going to create a Zoom? I'm sorry, Doug. What did you say?
I was joking. I said it's unlucky to thank people, especially on Friday the 13th.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that was according to
that it Friday the 13th.
That was one of those, yeah, that's one of those weird customs from around the world. But anyway, Carol, do you have a question tonight? Do you have a?
Yes.
Do you have a? You talked about the black cat, but
okay,
you think black cats are nice now?
Yes.
There's a lot on cats. A lot of cats having 9 lives. Wow. Go ahead. Sorry, Carol. Go ahead. There's
sorry,
a little bit
I'm
of
sorry.
A time delay here, everybody. That's why we're having a back and forth here. Go ahead, Carol.
What I learned from Reverend Ike was that, again, anything you want, get it in your mind first. So if you have the idea that a cat is bad luck or you've grown up to have that told to you so many times, if you want to erase that or get rid of that, get it in your mind first. Say, no, they are this, that, and that to me. But when I read about Japan, it really helped me really get it out of my mind. So I got it in my mind first that it's not bad luck. So that goes for anything mm-hmm. else. Get it in your mind first, then you can get it in your hand, you can get it in your pocket, and you can get it in your bank account or garage. But anyway, do you foresee me getting a windfall, monetary windfall this year?
Oh, you've been buying those tickets out on that Powerball draw tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see you with jewelry around your shoulders, and I can see you with cash in your hand. So I'm going to say something prominent's going to happen and some prosperity. You really have a big smile on your face, and you're holding up the money, and it's fanned out in front of you. So, yes, something, either your reputation or your prominence, that's what the jewelry means around your neck. Something spiritual, for instance, is also going to happen. But then you're going to have cash in your hand. So there you go.
Okay,
yes,
now,
Carol, you're going to do well.
Now, one thing I do know about you, you often can see more than you say. I understand that.
That's true.
And some things you cannot say.
And that's true, too.
So can you further on the spiritual? Oh, no.
When you're on the air, there's things you can't say for, you know, just because it's not proper. But so that's when to answer that question. So then you said something about spiritual. What did you, would you finish that? Because there's a little echo here in the mic.
Of spiritual, can you elaborate more on that?
In times of when, Carol? I'm sorry.
In terms of spirit, you said something spiritual. Can you elaborate more on that or no?
Of course, I always do. I mean, that's to be of service and to practice the Christ consciousness, to be a modern-day prophet, to illuminate the Christ's words and things like that. That's what we do here all the time. We don't stick to the churchy terms, but that's what we're doing. And so when, you know, what did you have in mind for the spiritual? Like where...
I would be more spiritual, so I guess, yeah, I do understand that.
Well, I was looking at the what would be like rocks around your neck. They're big gems. They're rock size. I think that's becoming a fashion where ladies are starting to use rather heavy jewelry. But these could be crystals. They could be gems of some sort. They look large. And so you have them around your neck. And when I usually see that, I interpret that scene or that vision as meaning that the person has spiritual gifts coming, or they are developing spiritual gifts, or they are more spiritual in as much as that they are demonstrating or experience the spiritual gifts, meaning prophecy, spiritual healing, telepathy, communication with angels, communication in dreams or visions with the higher realms. Because as you go higher up and you perceive, let's say, the Holy Family or a spiritual being that you admire and pray to, or you know, like a saint or an advisor, an angel, Gabriel, Raphael, something like that, when you see them, they're allowing you to perceive them. Not the other way around. You didn't catch them in the act. There they go. They're walking by and you see them. They allow you to see them. And by being able to see them, that's what I mean by being advancing yourself spiritually because you can see them. Otherwise, they're not there. The whole idea of being spiritually aware is to make the invisible visible. And that's when you see a saint, or you see your guardian angel, or you see a deceased relative or something else. And I don't want to be too specific, because you can see, you'll have your own spiritual experiences and they're going to be as varied as there are people. And that is an indication of becoming more spiritual. Unfortunately, sometimes people think that's it. You know, Jesus only appeared to me once. Imagine that, just once. Only one time. And you go, Jesus appeared to you? Yeah. Well, Jesus has never appeared to all of us. Oh, my God, are you lucky? And the person who had that miraculous visitation is kind of angry because Jesus didn't come back. And that's when they come to me and say, why not? And I say, well, maybe Jesus didn't need to come back. Maybe it's just he came to you to show you that you could see that he was real, and that's all you need to know. That answered your question for the time being. Why are you so upset that he didn't come back? See what I mean? So to be spiritual is a combination of having spiritual experiences and recognizing, appreciating, having the fulfillment of that experience settle in. But anytime you have one of those spiritual experiences, even seeing the future or having a dream come true, it's really important. It's a sort of sign of how advanced you are. The trouble is, you know, God never forgets, but people do. And so people can have a prophetic dream once every couple of years of something that's going to happen, and then they forget that they had such a dream. And then it becomes commonplace where they've had two or three experiences and they think that's it. That is an amazing thing for anybody to be able to perceive the future the next day, the next month, the next year, or a few years down the way. That's amazing. And it's happened to countless people that I know. And that is a sign of the person's advancement spiritually. The trouble is you don't get a certificate. You don't get a gold star. You know, you don't get a little pin in your collar that says, hey, I saw the future. And so people tend to doubt themselves after that. So that's a long explanation of saying, because other people are perhaps listening to this, that to sort of gauge your spirituality, it's these abilities that we would associate with the spiritual experiences that are recounted in, like, Corinthians as the and the good book about spiritual gifts. They're all there. They're recounted. They're laid out. And it's your duty as a Christian person, as a spiritual person, as a believer, to develop your intuitive spiritual abilities or gifts. To be a prophet, see the future. That's really handy because then you can tell people, hey, you know, I had a dream. There was this big snowstorm coming and the whole streets of Chicago were just like chaos. You know, the snow was 12 feet deep and everything, the roads were like an ice rink. We couldn't get around and people couldn't get any fuel for their furnaces. And, you know, so I guess it would be a good idea to have, you know, some extra blankets, a space heater, you know, a generator, have more fuel oil in if you have an oil burning stove, et cetera, et cetera. Don't go outside. Don't plan a trip. Or reverse. I know it's coming in November, so let's head on down to Florida, and we'll wait it out in the sun. So those are the things that when you get that information in advance, it's kind of a blessing. It is a blessing, and it's one to be taken very serious. So when I say to you, I see you're more spiritual. I'm seeing this indication of these symbols around your neck that I've normally seen. It's an array of jewels. And sometimes in visions or dreams when somebody's wearing rings on their finger, I believe that to mean if you have one or two rings on your finger, unless it's somebody intending to get married and hoping they're going to get married, if you see one or two rings on your finger, that means you have one or two spiritual gifts coming. Usually they come one at a time. You know, one on one finger, then a month or two later a second ring, and a month or two later a third ring. Maybe a 6 months later, the fourth ring. And so you have four rings on your fingers and you have the ability to see energy from people, maybe do some spiritual healing, maybe be able to interpret dreams or maybe to have deep meditation. And that's the indication of being spiritual. That's the ability to do those things. But the forecasting or seeing those things in advance is what I'm doing tonight by telling you this image I see around your neck of these of what I've interpreted or I've seen many times before, somebody wearing jewels around their neck. It's not like a necklace, but it is, I guess, but it's really big. Okay?
Okay. And Dr. Katra, I got two more things. Now, mm-hmm. I want to explain here, Echo. Stay on the path of enlightenment. What does that mean? Although I have explained it to other people, and I said, well, I'll get Dr. Cottrell to explain it to you, and then maybe you'll understand even in more depth. So what does it mean to stay on the path of enlightenment?
Okay, so you're trying to be a good person. You're trying to work with yourself to develop yourself spiritually. Meaning you're trying to develop some ability, perhaps, you know, spiritual healing or interpreting your dreams, something like that. You're trying to live your life correctly, you know, trying to live within harmony of what we call God's laws. That should be more like seeing the balance in nature. You know, you're eating right. You're thinking right, you're doing the right thing, the things that you know that are right. Because when you make mistakes and you do something, then you feel, whoa, that was not a good thing. Well, that mistake helps to put you back on a path that corrects you or improves your understanding of that balance point. So as you're going along, there will come a test. Your best friend will cheat on you, will turn you into the IRS, will betray you somehow. Or some big bad bully will come and smack up your car or burn your house down or do something horrific. Or some government agency will come along and do something really in an unjust way. Or something will happen as a test. And you give up and you say, God would never let that happen to me. This is so bad. And you forget all the good things you've learned. That's what falling off the path. To stay on the path means that, okay, this is a bad thing that happened to me. Must be something good in this somewhere. And you patiently wait to see. You don't give up all that you found to be correct and perfect. And I'm not talking about being naive now. I'm being practical. And then you pray to God to say, help me out of this situation. Show me the way, the solutions. Give me an opportunity or send somebody to me with an opportunity that will help me get out of where I am, out of this mess or situation or predicament. And then you do everything you can to help yourself. And that's when you find that spiritual coincidence and spiritual fortuitousness comes into it. And some people would say, my, you're lucky. And you say, no, I'm not lucky. I don't believe in luck. I believe in God. And that God always furnishes everybody with a solution, no matter what. Although sometimes it's right in front of us and we can't see it. But the remedy, the solution is always there, once. If you don't take a hold of it, well, then you're on your own, at least for a while. So with that belief and that faith and that understanding, which comes from repetitious experiencing the same things that I mentioned, the difficulties you get into and the people that will treat you unjustly and they'll call you names, they'll be prejudiced towards you, they'll steal from you, whatever they do, it will be harmful, and they'll just be plain, ordinarily mean people. Well, these are the demonic influences. This is the Satan shadow or the current going by. It's weak, unless you're afraid of it. And by having faith and saying, okay, everybody thinks I'm a crook. I'm not. I'm going to stand fast. I know God has got me into this situation, or there is a reason I'm in this situation more exactly, for my spiritual benefit or goodness. I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to run away. And then somebody comes along and says, everybody's wrong. This person's right. This person was being of service. And next thing you know, you're being honored rather than despised. And that's when you have that moment of saying, I can now go and I can cause harm to those people that were harming me by pointing them out, criticizing them publicly or whatever. Or I can just be thankful and keep on moving forward in my life and let those people who have been the deceivers and the mean people and the stupid people, the foolish people, whatever they were, and just leave them behind to deal with their own mess, because they too are now going through a test where they falsely accuse somebody and now they have to go through the process of making amends and forgiving themselves. And then it gets complicated and more and more and more. But that's how spiritual lessons are. But the point being is that when you're in that moment, if you don't run away and you say, okay, God, you got me into this for some reason. I'm not going to criticize you or get angry with you. I don't like it, but I have to deal with this, so I'm going to deal with it best way you can. And the best lesson here is that if you do not deal with something, it won't go away. It'll keep coming back. Same problem, different people. Same circumstances, different people. And if you open up your eyes, you become spiritually aware, you will recognize that every time the situation comes up, you say, I recognize this. Oh, my God. Different people, different time, different location, but exactly the same circumstance, then you'll say, okay, I'm going to handle this right away. And I can't guarantee, because that's between you and God, but I can encourage that if you don't procrastinate, if you don't run away, if you don't try to give the problem off to somebody else, and you say to yourself, okay, I recognize this problem, what's the one thing that I'm avoiding doing? That's the thing you need to do to solve the problem. You've avoided it 3 or 4 times, and it's the problem's back, and there's the one thing that you don't want to do because it's difficult, it's hard, you know, it's embarrassing, whatever. But that is the solution. And if you face up to that and you do the thing that you've been avoiding and you try to solve the problem, whether you solve it or not correctly, doesn't matter. You're going to learn from it. It'll never come back. That situation that's been reoccurring, that circumstance that's been reoccurring, provided you do the thing that you to solve it, even though it's difficult, it will never come back because it came for a lesson. And like all lessons, it's just like a yo-yo, back and back and back. You throw it away, it comes back. But until you handle it, it will come back. But as soon as you do, it will go away. And again, you might be 10% successful. You might be 100% successful in solving that issue, but it will go away because you've earned and learned enough that situation will go away. That happens about once every 10 years. We have a major spiritual lesson. We have little ones along the way, but that's about once. Okay, so Carol's getting writer's cramp here, taking down verbatim here. She's going to make $1 million on this class she's going to hold with people here. So.
Dr. Tucker, I got one more question. Now, can you, Doug, Paul, can you do a, in other words, make it more apparent, make it, mention more about good karma, because that's why people just don't understand that it's not punitive, because when you give examples of karma, it's always a challenging and situation. Can you say, sometimes say, well, this person has good karma because of blah, 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 blah. I don't hear people say that.
Well, the words that come to mind, Carol, and I'll let Paul and Doug chime in, is that the words that come to mind are judge not, lest ye be judged. And so when somebody says this person has good karma or this person has bad karma, the correct way to say is this person is fortunate. They must have done something really well in their past experiences, or that they are being of service in this life. And that's why they're being fortunate. Good things come to those people who are doing good things. People who are not having fortunate, they are actually in difficulty. By their own hand, they will put themselves in difficulty because they're attempting to learn a lesson. And that lesson might be not to be prejudiced. That lesson might be to give other people the benefit of the doubt. In other words, don't jump to conclusions. That person has feelings. It could be a lot of things, but there's no way to explain the process of what we're calling this spiritual learning. And as such, when you hear people say they've got good karma, okay, we'll take that as a compliment. But that also means that they've earned that good, fortunate time in their life. Everything's fleeting. Yeah,
but the more you're good.
Well, I can't.
People don't mention
Carol,
it. Carol.
Yeah. Yeah, Carol, what you're bordering on is being a tyrant. When you want other people to know something, or you want other people to act a certain way or to be a certain way, even though you want them to be good, There's a lot of I's in there. I want, I want, I want. And people will be good because they want to be good. They won't be good because we command them to or demand them to or threaten them. So the way other people think, the other people feel, that's their business. You know, that's why there's Republicans and that's why there's Democrats. And then there's those other people who are pretending to be Republicans. A little political humor in there. So the point being is everybody has a different perspective or opinion, but as a spiritual-minded person, you have to wait until that person graduates. You can't go to somebody in kindergarten and expect them to know how to go to a formal dinner. They've never been there. They're not prepared. It's the same when people are showing some signs of let's say, being off the mark. They're being critical of others, or they're mean. I've had people say to me, you know, what can I do that's going to, you know, what kind of simple thing can I do to make myself a better person? And I say, well, number one, don't talk about anybody. For 24 hours, do not criticize, make any comment, don't do anything about, say anything or do anything about anyone for 24 hours. Can you do that? Well, sure. I won't, you know, I can, you know, but that's easy. And within an hour, in front of everybody that said they could do this, they're saying, did you see that person over there? Oh, my God, look at the clothes, polka dot dress. She's 300 pounds. I mean, wearing polka dots, that's crazy. And Gordon, you go, just a minute. Remember, just a little while ago, you said you would not talk about anybody. You would not say anything derogatory or critical of anybody for 24 hours. You failed. That's how hard it is to say, as I've often said to people, in a nice way, in a positive way, and people tonight listening to me, they're all smiling and they're going, yeah, they know. It's almost impossible when you got something really juicy, you know, some gossip that you know, it's almost impossible not to tell it to someone else. But if you can do that, and if you have the discipline to do that, well, that's a major spiritual advancement. So God always throws a test in you. I once had a young man come to me and he wanted to quit marijuana. I said, okay, I'm going to put a blessing on your lips. It's going to seal your lips up. You cannot put any more marijuana to your lips. Otherwise, this isn't going to work. So after a while, I happened to meet him again, came back for another class or whatever. And I said, so you do okay? And he said, well, you wouldn't believe it. After you did that magic thing to me, yet I'm not supposed to smoke marijuana, weed just kept coming at me in waves. Everybody I knew kept offering me free bags of weed. Everybody, they were smoking up all around me. I had to leave the party. And I said, okay, did you smoke any weed? And he said, no, I didn't. I said, congratulations, that was the devil in disguise tempting you. And I found that before. If you say you don't want something, I don't want to eat chocolate. Chocolate's bad for me. Everybody in the world will pass you or give you a chocolate bar or chocolates, a box of chocolates. And you're going like, what the heck is this? I know it's not, I don't want it. It's not, I'm not supposed to have it. Why are these chocolates coming at me? Now, I'm saying these things to everybody out there in Radio Land. And, you know, think about it. What you don't want will come to you. You know, if you want to know what's going on inside, say, the courthouse, and you wonder, gee, I wonder what goes on in there, I guarantee you, you will be there, called up for jury duty. You'll have to go there with your deed on your house to straighten it out to be a problem. You'll be called in there for an assessment. You'll be called in there. You'll have to go get your passport stamped, all kinds of things, to the point where you say, okay, I don't need to know what goes on in the courthouse anymore. That's enough. Thank you very much. I found out everything. The jury duty, I was a little too much. I didn't want to do that. But as you wonder about things, or as you have this desire to put limitations on something, you will be tempted. And therein lies the beauty of wisdom. When you know that these things are coming at you, no matter what it is, no matter what it is, and you can say, ha-ha, this is the great Satan. The current of temptation is coming by. And you don't do anything about it. You don't partake of it, no matter what it is. Then you'll be successful. It could even be angry. You know, I don't want to get angry at anybody. I just, you know, why have I got a temper? I'm going to stop being angry at people. Well, I can guarantee that person every day for the next week, somebody's going to do something, say something, or provoke this person to be angry until they get to that point and they go, ha ha, I get it. This is temptation. I'm not going to get angry. And somebody comes along and says, I just banged into your brand new Cadillac out on the street there, or more like Tesla automobile, I guess now the best car. And you got a big dent in it. And you go like, okay, the insurance will cover it. No worries. And say, aren't you going to get angry? Aren't you going to like beat me up or threaten me with a knife or a gun or something? No. It was an accident. Give me your insurance number and whatever. We'll settle it later. See the difference? See the temptation? See the wisdom in that? You will find it out whether you listen to my words here tonight, no matter where you are in the world, because this is how the world works. And everybody gets to that point. And when something bad happens, you go, okay, it can be fixed.
Okay, so Dr. Katreya, so can we say...
Mm-hmm.
This person has good fortune, and this person has misfortune. Still,
you shouldn't
call
say
it.
Anything. You shouldn't say anything. You should say, you don't need to judge people. You know, when somebody's got good things going for them, you say, hip, hip, hooray, good for them. Somebody's having difficulty, say, I'm so sorry. Can I help you? But you don't judge them. Or you pass them by. Passing them by means it's not your concern. There's nothing for you to do there. Somebody else is taking care of somebody or giving them a sandwich and a coffee. Well, you don't need to go over and give them a sandwich and a coffee. But when you start to evaluate and you start to decide who has fortune and who has misfortune, then you're on a slippery slope. Because the person that has misfortune, they might be learning a fantastic lesson.
So, Dr. Katreya, that's not the same thing as, oh, that person got their karma. In other words, this one particular, it's on the internet, it's a real good one. He is a hockey player, and he's playing. And this guy in the audience is mocking him when he got hit in the eye with a puck. Maybe 15 minutes later, he got hit in the eye with a puck.
Yeah.
And the newscaster says, oh, karma is in action.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the attitude of the announcer was, look at that. Good for him. He got hurt. If that was his attitude, then that's not right. Because now he's gloating that the person is injured. If, on the other hand, he said, oh my God, there's karma in action. The person was ridiculing the hockey puck, the hockey player, and the puck hit him. Well, that's his lesson. I hope he learns his lesson, or, you know, praise God, he's going to learn his lesson, and it's neutral. But usually when people say that, it's like, ha, karma, good for you. Look at that. You know, you got your head shoved in the mud. You know, good for you. Ha, ha, ha. That's not good. You don't want to do that because, as Jesus told his disciples, don't take it personal. And don't judge about somebody's sickness or ailment, lest you will be judged. And what happens to them is going to happen to you.
And that's often
that's
true.
That's the part that everybody, that's the, mm-hmm. the people forget. So when somebody has something, misfortune happens to them, you say, if you're nearby and you say, can I help you? Do you need a Band-Aid? Or, you know, like, oh, how about a cold compact? Oh, my God, that hurts. Think about it this way. If you want to know a true understanding of that, when an ambulance driver pulls up on the road and somebody's hurt, They put them in the ambulance and they give them all the care they can. They do not say, this so-and-so was drinking and he got in a car accident. Good for him. I hope it hurts. Or when somebody's house burns down, they don't go to the person and say, well, it's all your fault, you silly so-and-so. You were playing with fire and you had those electrical devices and gasoline in the house. What's the matter with you? Look, you burnt your house down. They don't say any of that. But the people in the neighborhood might. But the people who come in to offer the help say, how can I help you? What do you need? Are you breathing? Are you in pain? That is the difference between a spiritual person attending somebody who's been foolish or has done something silly. They do not take that next step and criticize, judge, or gloat. Instead, they have compassion and they go, wow, guy burned his house down. That's terrible. And they leave. Okay? That's a very important lesson. And people do it all. There's lots of good people who profess to be Christians who do that. Condemnation. Well, you deserve that. Look, you deserve to get what you got because you're a sinner. Well, who made you the judge of sinners? You know, who made you the person to know what something should happen to somebody and whether it's good or bad? God doesn't punish anybody. Okay, God corrects, and by that I mean, God gave us the recipe, we follow it, and we bake the cake. We don't follow the recipe, and we end up with a mess. But we still end up with something. And next time, we hope when we get the chance to make the cake, we follow the recipe correctly, and we're going to get a good cake. That's what spiritual awareness is all about. That's what spiritual advancement is all about. And the people coming over looking at the cake, somebody had a beautiful cake, you say, wow, that's fantastic. They don't say that's good karma or you're really smart. They go, well done. And the person who has a mess of a cake, they go over and they say, well, better luck next time. See? No emotion. And if you do that, you're on your way. And everybody, unfortunately, doesn't know what I just said, and that's why I'm in the world, to explain those things, to illuminate the words of Christ, to illuminate the teachings more exactly, because I understand them. It only took me 50 years.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, Dr. Kachar, but just say that when something good happens with no emotion or whatever, but most people don't say, she has karma. That's her karma, and without emotion.
Yeah, but it's not. What I'm saying, Carol. What I'm saying is it's unnecessary to make any comments at all. I was talking to a married couple. They had a brand new house. Go ahead.
What I'm saying to you is they make it all the time. For example, one of the presidents is going to, his next life is going to be in Mexico. So all I'm saying is, okay, that's an example. One of the presidents in their next life is going to live in Dubois among a lot of wealth. That's their karma. And leave it at that.
We don't know it. You know, we don't care and we don't know, because maybe that person's not going to go anywhere next life. They're going to go to some other dimension. But I understand when people are trying to explain and people are painful and having difficulty and say, well, you know, they're going to experience the exact opposite to what they've been causing problems for. That's the way the concept works. That's the way the teaching works. You know, if you're a person who's against Chinese people and you hate them, I can guarantee you, from what I know, you're going to spend a lifetime in Japan. or China, I should say. Whether or not it's the next one, I don't know. I don't know the mind of God, but whatever you have emotion towards, you're going to go find out about it. Like I said earlier, wonder what goes on in the courthouse. Well, come on down. You're going to find out. You have to register deeds here, sign up for jury duty, be a witness, you know, get your passport stamped. Whatever you don't know about, you're going to be attracted towards. And whatever you have strong emotion towards, you will become that exact person, situation, or circumstance so that you can learn why. You know, the old saying about many of the wise men have said, don't judge anybody until you've walked 1,000 steps in their shoes. You know, Abraham Lincoln once said, I never hated a man I didn't know. Okay? And so that's the whole thing. When you don't know somebody, it's really easy to dislike them or hate them. But when you get to know strangers, as often happens in war, enemies fight against each other, kill each other, and then they have respect for each other, and they don't have any hatred, then they become friends. And you see that history. That's right. But anyway, the point being, coming back to this, is the lesson is, you know, in attempting to understand the spiritual rules or laws, you don't need to listen to somebody like me, who may be able to give you a shortcut. The laws are balanced, and it's perfect. You will find out. If you go into a store and you eat chocolates because you just love chocolates, you can hardly wait, you spend your whole paycheck on chocolates. Let's say you're a kid that works at a grocery store and you get $20 a week, and you go and you spend that all on chocolates. Well, we all know what's going to happen the next day or two. Oh, my God, you're going to be sick as a dog. And you're not ever going to want to have another chocolate in your life, or a cigarette, or a cigar, or a drug, or whatever, alcohol. But you have to go through that experience. And for everybody that's done that, and everybody listening to me right now nodding their head, yep, that's karma. Anything to excess leads to excess. And, yeah. I'm sure everybody's had that, you know, in college where they drank too much and they said, I'm never going to do this again. Oh, my God, you know. So after a few times of that, it eventually sinks in that it's not a good idea. Listen, Carol, it's been off topic and we've been talking for a long time. We have other people waiting in line here. I do have this little package.
Are you going to set up the Zoom and put me in the green room with Paul?
Yeah, Paul, it's heads up there. You're going to take this Reverend Ike's address, I guess, and phone number, and we'll give him a call and see if he wants to be on the show.
No, Reverend Ike is on the other side, Patrick O'Brien.
Oh, well, sorry, I guess. Well, we've had people from the other side come on the show, haven't we? Yeah. Everybody's going, what? Okay. We'll go to the next caller. I think that, are we going to New York next, Paul?
No, we're going to over to Manitoba. We've got Carrie on the line.
Okay, I'll go to Manitoba, and you can talk to Carol in the green room. Hiya, you're on the line, Carrie. How are you? How's Manitoba tonight?
Oh, hi. How are you? Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, Carrie.
Yeah, thank you. I feel that number fours and number nines or anything adding up to a number four or a number nine is definitely unlucky. And I wouldn't even buy a house that added up to a number four or a number nine. It's just, I think that's just a very unlucky number. And I would stay more with a six or an eight for if you'd been
well,
in my house.
Okay.
You know.
Are you on feng shui or are you on to numerology? A feng shui is it?
The numerology, I've heard things about that, and I kind of think that it's pretty accurate. So.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't.
That was my next question. Why
yeah, like
that?
For me anyways. Yeah. And as for the black cats and that, I feel that they're lucky. And actually, I don't know where I just read it not long ago, but apparently they say that if you come across any black, even if it's a black bird, black whatever, dog, any black animal, or it's also a good omen. And I can't remember where I read that. So I love black. I'm okay with
black is my favorite color. Well, yeah, so you're okay with a black cat? That,
yeah. Oh, I would love to have a black cat. Yeah, I had a black dog once.
So you're
once,
okay
but,
with black?
Definitely.
Okay. You're okay with
definitely.
A black cat that has 9 lives, right?
Yeah.
You hear that? You're okay with a black cat that has 9 lives.
Oh, for sure. go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to follow up. Number four, usually in numerology, means hard work. And what was the other number that you didn't like? You had 4 and what else?
9.
9 is a winning, losing number. It's fame or fortune, or it's infamous and loss. You know, you can win or lose on 9. People who are associated with 9s, if they don't work hard, in other words, they're not industrial, or they're not, you know, they're not pushing themselves. They become a little lazy, and so the number 9s kind of go through life at a lower octave than the ones who push themselves and become at a higher octave. So number 9 is kind of like a win or lose number: fame and fortune, or infamy and loss. Number 4 is a hardworking number, and for people who love number 4s are people who love to work in factories. They like to work all the time doing things with their hands. So it's a very industrial number. But again, we were looking at some of these other places in the world where the numbers that some of the societies have, you know, like in Japan and Egypt, I think I was saying that, you know, black cats are considered very fortuitous. But again, in other parts of the world, they're not. But the numerology is basically, if you're a hardworking person that likes to work in an industry, in a factory, and you have a number 4, you're right in harmony with yourself. So it depends on your personality. But interesting. So just filling in the numbers for our friends out there. But again, you know, black cats and sightings are usually good for Irish people, and superstition of a black cat comes and sits on your porch. That's good luck, and the same in Japan as the symbols of reverence and prosperity. Okay, so what else were you doing?
Okay. So I had a dream this past week, and you know when you go to say a gas station and you're paying for something, or anywhere where you're paying for something, and they hand you a receipt, whether it's a shorter receipt or a longer receipt or whatever, depending. Well, I was at the counter, and the woman behind the counter, like the cashier, whatever she was, she handed me this long slip, okay? So, and she said, "This is a big ticket." So that was a dream. And I'm thinking, big ticket to what, though? Like, after that, like, what kind of ticket? You can interpret that all kinds of different ways, you know? So what do you think that could possibly be?
Well, first of all, I thought gas prices are going up again.
Okay,
that would be the big ticket was the receipt, which means that things are expensive. Because it was at a gas station, it's not a police ticket, so you're not going to get in trouble with the law. You're at the counter.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a gas station, though.
There was a woman behind the counter.
I thought I was giving you
an
example. Yeah, that I was at a counter wherever I was, like whether it was a store or a gas station or whatever. Like I was giving an example, like how they pass you your receipt, a slip, whatever, and that's when she said, "This is a big ticket." So, yeah.
Okay. So if I explain this dream to you, I'm in for 10% of the lottery, okay?
Okay.
Because that's what comes to my mind as you were saying, the woman who I see leaning over, giving you the ticket and saying, this is a big ticket, meaning this is a big lottery.
Yeah, that's one interpretation. I hope that's it.
Yeah,
and then I had a couple nights after that, the same dream with that woman, and she said, here's your ticket. And then when I first had the dream, I had another dream. It was on my floor, and I was looking at it. And what it was was solid gold, like imagine solid gold, but it was in the shape of a bag, but it was solid gold, like a bag with a bow on it.
Money bag. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Money bag, present. It looks to me like you're going to win the lottery. The second time the lady came back and said, what did she say the second time? This is really a big ticket. The second time?
Yeah. Second time she said, here's your ticket.
Here's your ticket.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that this is, you're going to get a quick pick, or you're going to get a ticket from someplace like the lottery booths, you know, since you're in Manitoba, you know, it's maybe the 649, but more like the Lotto Max. And the Lotto Max is a really big ticket. I mean, there's a lot of money on the ticket. And then she's handing it to you, and it's got numbers on it or whatever, but she explains that this is a big ticket. And she says it in such a way as to make sure you remember the words. And then the next dream you have, which is a follow-up, and she says, this is your ticket. In other words, this is for you to win. So I'm...
Okay.
I interpret dreams a lot. People have similar symbols in the dream. That's why I asked you, was a counter. The first is, it's not at the windshield, at a window, rather. It's not a policeman. It's not somebody giving you a traffic violation or a ticket that way. It's somebody at a counter, which usually deals with money. And either this is a quick pick. Do you play the lottery now? I should ask you that.
Well, actually, I do. Not all the time, but I do. Okay. I have been buying, them here and there always, as a rule.
Right. So.
Yeah.
So now you buy every Tuesday and Friday, which I think is Lotto Max. And you either play the same numbers, you either play the same numbers all the time, which I recommend, or you get a quick pick ticket. But the way the woman explained it to you, and this is really slow motion, leaning over, talking to you, getting your attention, and that's why you see it so clearly, I said, this looks like something fortuitous coming for sure. And the only thing that comes as a ticket that most people would say is, I got to get my lottery tickets, right? That's what I think it means. You're going to win the lottery. A big prize.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Related dreams in a row.
Don't forget.
It's really adds more power to it.
Yeah.
Oh, is that
That's.
Oh, the dream is trying to get your attention. Yeah, and as Doug says, it's a powerful dream. So.
Okay, because I was kind of when I was.
You can afford it to look.
Yeah, for sure.
You can afford 10% to a little guy here, you know. In Ontario, you know, helping on his way to his mission here. Anyway, it's really important.
Yeah, well, okay. Well,
pay attention and do not miss. Okay? Do not miss.
Okay.
I've had situations where they were playing the ticket or playing the numbers, and then on the night that they should have played, they were a little late, or they didn't go back to town, or they got a quick pick instead, and their numbers that they had been playing all along came up. So, but this is being presented to you. So this is a gift from the universe, and at the counter where money usually is exchanged. And the only thing I can see is it, because when I was watching your dream, it looked like a long printout, and that's why I said the Lotto Max, because they're big tickets. They're longer. They're bigger than the than the provincial ones or the other tickets. So that's
yeah,
good
that's,
for you.
That's the size it was of the paper. It was at the Moto size of the Lotto Max. Actually, pretty much identical. So there was
there
a guy in Manitoba here a few years ago. He had only $5 left to his name because he was on disability, and he basically used everything up for medical bills and everything. And so he went out and bought a Lotto Max and with his $5, and he took a photo of his very last $5 he had to his name, and he won $27.5 million. That's pretty lucky.
Well, first of all, to do that, I would be saying something stirred him inside. He took a ticket out. He took a picture of it so that if somebody tried to steal the ticket, or, you know, if he's down and out, he's probably out on the street or who knows what, but it was insurance that he had a ticket so that if somebody took it or acquired it, he had proof of purchase. Very smart. But something, my feeling or my intuition is that he did this because something stirred inside him to do it. It wasn't just
by
chance.
Well, no, he
it
took
a like,
picture.
You know.
Yeah.
Good
he
for
took
him,
a picture of his $5 bill. That's the picture he took. It was his very last $5 bill. That he, yeah, that's what he took. And then I guess he bought a ticket, and then he won the $27.5 million. So
I guess he's happy for him.
Yeah, me too. You know, I'm glad to hear
that. Makes me feel good, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. I always thought that's great for people who could really need it. So but thank you very, very much for taking my call, and I guess I'll have to go put some numbers together and
right now, I think you're out of luck for tonight, right? It's the lottery shuts off. Does it shut off at 10 o'clock locally where you are in Manitoba?
I don't even know.
No.
I'm not sure. I thought it was 8 or 9, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, that would make sense because we're in the east, and I think it's 10 or 10:30. I think it's 10 o'clock. It shuts off here. So that would be because the Lotto Max is right across the land, so they would shut the computers off earlier out west. So I could see that. Anyway, when you win, it's, you know, like, my name's Douglas James Cottrell. I'm on the web, on the internet there, you know. Just check my way. Your donation would go very well to our spiritual church here and in Ontario. So,
of course,
anyway,
you'll be first on my list.
Okay.
Okay. Take care and have a wonderful year.
I do wish you well. If you call me next week and say, Douglas, I have a little money for your church, I'm going to say, wow, it's going to be a good year. Irrespective of that, Carrie, this is, when you get a dream like this or a vision like this, you've earned it. Okay, God, the lotteries are earmarked for certain people. So may you win big and may you win
some. Well, if you'll be the first to know.
I'll be waiting.
I'll be giving you.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. Have a good night.
You're welcome, Carrie. God bless. And by the way, that reminds me about my website, douglasjamescottrell.com. We have, as speaking to Carrie about the church, we have coming up in Texas, Fort Worth, as well as here we have the church in Toronto, soon to be in Campbellford. We have the church moving here, and go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and you will find the upcoming Hope Conference. That's the Hope Conference. And we're going out there in the world, and we're putting this conference together February 10th, 11th, and 12th in Dallas, Fort Worth. And you can register tonight. It's at the Forest Hill Conference Center. And it's a heavenly organization that prepares everyone for the future. And this is the first of many appearances, but it'll start off in Dallas-Fort Worth. And so you're very welcome to go there. The price is $250 for the weekend. You'll meet celebrities, and you'll be able to ask questions. We'll have a Q&A. We will also have some dynamic presentations by people in person or by Zoom. But it's a must-go to, you must be there kind of event. So DouglasJamesCottrell.com, click on the banner that says Hope Conference, and there's information there, and you can register. It's not going to be a large group of people, a couple hundred perhaps, so don't wait. And if you'd like to call, there's a phone number and there's an email address if you need more information. But it should be all there on the website, and we hope you there's two steps. There's the main page, and then there's the sign-up page, which is about $329 Canadian, and it's about $250 American. And we hope to see you there, everybody. And I think we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to head on over to New York. It looks like a couple of people. And wherever else we're going to go, the number to call is 718-766-4421. You're listening to The Global Village with Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. The show is produced by Paul Hughes, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Every so often, an individual appears who can demonstrate the ability to access the dimension known as the Akashic Field. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is one such individual. The field is like a celestial library of all our thoughts and actions. Since the dawn of time, science is demonstrating that through this energetic field, our minds are connected to one another despite our perception that we're all separate. This is why the great religions of the world teach respect, compassion, and tolerance. They depict the field as the book of life, the source of inventions, inspiration, and insight. In the book, Conversations with the Akashic Field, Dr. Cottrell offers you practical advice from the Akashic Field so you may live a life of peace and prosperity. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop. There you'll find books, meditation, and other spiritual advancement materials.
Who is God?
What's my purpose?
What do my dreams mean?
What are miracles?
What are spiritual abilities?
Was I in a past life?
Who is my soulmate?
What is meditation?
Are your thoughts racing around on what life is or how to live it? Slow down. Find answers in Dr. Douglas James Cottrell's book, Secrets of Life, now available at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon.
You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And we're back, and certainly we wish Carrie a wonderful experience at the counter of the everlasting Lotto Max tickets. We'll be thinking about you, Carrie, and hoping that what we can call it, that communication comes real soon. I think Friday the 13th might work out to be a lucky day for Carrie. In any event, some people are asking, you know, what about people who believe in good luck? Well, according to one source, good luck, people who believe in good luck are more optimistic, they're more satisfied with their lives, and they have better moods. Conversely, people who believe they are personally unlucky experience more anxiety and are less likely to take advantage of unexpected opportunities. Let me read that again. Are less likely to take advantage of unexpected opportunities. Think about that, my friends, because it's true. People who are kind of anxious, they've had some difficulties in their life, they pronounce upon themselves the decree that they are unlucky. And when fortune comes to that person, as fortune does come to all of us, guaranteed three times in your life some mega important, fortunate, lucky time will come, some experience or opportunity will come in your life, guaranteed. And if you're asleep at the switch thinking, oh my God, you know, I can't go to that because I'm going to get in trouble, or, you know, I always have bad luck, and oh my gosh, well, how am I going to handle myself? What are people going to think about me? And what if I look foolish? You might pass by a gigantic opportunity. So if you believe yourself to be lucky and say, wow, fortune smiles on me. If you do good things, then fortune follows you, as it says in some pretty good books out there about being a upstanding citizen or person. But if you're one of those people, a little timid, a little worried, a little shy, remember, you could be your own worst enemy here. And I'm encouraging you to take a bite of that apple. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Here goes the cliche. But the point being is, if you attempt and fail, that's good, because it's better to continue to attempt and fail than to never attempt at all. Because one of those times, you're going to be lucky. It's going to work, because you're going to learn from all the times before that what not to do. So sooner or later, you're going to get it right. So I encourage you, my friends, take those chances. I'm talking about being practical. I'm not talking about spending a lot of money or get-rich-quick schemes. I'm talking about look for the universe to bless you. But it's an interesting fact, Doug, that people who generally count themselves as lucky, they're outgoing, and they expect good things to happen to them. Are you one of those folks?
Yes, I am. And I think it's more likely to happen if you expect it to happen, or if you recognize it happens. Now, Benjamin Franklin, I disagree with Benjamin Franklin. He had a lot of good advice, but one thing he said was he considered moderate pessimism to be the best choice, because then when something good happens, you're pleasantly surprised, but when something negative happens, you're not unduly disappointed. But my belief is that always think positively about everything, even when something so-called negative happens, as you alluded early on in the program. Regard it as an opportunity to learn, and recognize that something good always comes from it. And my belief then is you'll be a lot happier. That agrees with what you said.
Okay. Well, let's look to travel, because we're all traveling these days, and my gosh, everybody's in the air these days, except when they pull the switch and shut us down. I can't believe it. But we have predicted on this show that the airplanes would not fly one day, and that happened just a couple of days ago. How to ensure good fortune on your travels? Some suggestions here. Do you carry a lucky charm? Do you wish upon stars? I don't know. Do you, Doug? I kind of look up. I remember one time I used to look up in the sky and say, you know, those stars have been here from the moment I was born, and they're going to be here the moment I die, and they've been here forever. So it kind of sets it right, you know. So,
well,
you know your... go ahead.
True. I was just going to say, pet phrase is always look for something positive, but in the middle of what could be termed negative, I say this too will pass. Tomorrow the sun will come out and things will get better.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think when you're a traveler and you're mature in the world, you know you've made mistakes before, and you know that it might be embarrassing, but there's only two kinds of people in the world: the people that have made mistakes and the people that are going to. And as you keep that in mind, when you spill your drink on your lap or something, you know, silly happens, well, you just go, yeah, now that that's happened to me, it won't happen anymore, but it's going to happen to everybody else at the counter here. So there are some superstitions when you travel, to be, it's most important to keep in mind that you can adapt, as we're talking about, to your destination, and to ensure that your travels are not only exciting, but fun. And that's what, you don't get caught up with looking at the destination and you got to be there at a certain time and how many people are sitting in an airplane traveling at 550 miles an hour, looking at their watch impatiently and wondering it's going to take another half an hour to get here. When you look out the window and you say, I wonder what it was like for those guys in covered wagons and on horses and those people that walked across the country. Oh my God, I'm going to be half an hour late for my, you know, my arrival time. Chill out. Take it easy. Look out the window and say, oh my God, thank God I'm flying. Anyway, once
have
you leave the house, well, that's true. If you're real nice to the people on board, you know, you say thank you very much and you're courteous, maybe slip them a tip, you might get you might get some attention, put it that way. Once you left the house, don't return to get anything you've forgotten. Just replace it at your destination. This is a superstition for people who are traveling. Definitely don't go back. Planning your trip well and packing smart to avoid having to go back home to retrieve any forgotten items is good advice in general, but it's also the first step towards a trip filled with good luck. Okay, what else we got here? Let's see. In your mind, don't allow yourself to select your preferred room in advance. That's good advice. Get on the computer, look at the hotel, and then see if you need a room that's close to an exit or the parking lot or an entrance rather, or close to the elevator. Get it first so you know where you're going when you get there. And then, of course, as we were talking to Carrie, or I believe it was Carrie, about the number eights or fours or whatever, I always take a room in my favorite hotel. I take room 107. And it's just like, well, it's in a nice area. It's on the first floor, and I like it. And the numbers add up to eight. Eight seems to be a favorable number, as does one and seven to me. One being the number for the self, and seven being the seeker's number, and a wild card zero in the middle. Okay, that's numerology behind that in brief, but I tend to get that room, and I've had good experiences in it, so I try to get the same room every time. Even if I go to a different hotel with the same name, I'll try to get the same number. Don't use an unlucky number. Seven is usually universally considered lucky because of its symbolism. Seven seas, seven wonders of the world, 7 days of the week, seven colors of the rainbow. Okay, maybe that's why I like 107. Once you're in your room, make sure to let as much light and air in as possible by drawing the drapes and turning on the lights and opening windows. This is said to allow new, fresh energy to flow into the space. That sounds like feng shui to me. Yeah, as a savvy traveler, you might be remiss to visit your destination without taking heed of local superstitions. Well, that's true. Dreaming of a nest full of eggs is a goal as a good omen in Jamaica, meaning you will acquire great wealth. In the United States, the saying goes, find a penny, pick it up, and all day long you'll have good luck. Well, I remember walking through an airport, and I was slowly limping along, and there was a lady standing out in front of her store, and she had a white smock on, and it might have been a pharmacy. And she's standing there, walking back and forth on her heels, you know, waiting for people to come into her store. When I walked up and I looked down at her feet, she looked down at her feet. And I said, see that? She said, what? I said, there's 10 cents. And without hesitation, she reached down, picked up the 10 cents and put it in her pocket. And I kept on going. And I thought, she should have gave me that 10 cents.
Yes, I know. Particularly if you're having, you know, if you had your canes with you. But you know what? You talked about the number nine. Go ahead.
No, go ahead about nine.
Okay. The number nine is lucky for me. It's because of my personality.
Okay.
And I regard it as nine, as lucky. So.
Okay. There you go. That's a sort of affinity with you. So, okay, moving on. Some superstitions can be dangerous. In Mexico, it is believed that sleeping with scissors under your pillow, who would do that, can stop a bad dream in its tracks. While putting a pair of open scissors on the entrance to your house will keep the rain away. Oh, I don't know about that. But who would sleep with a pair of scissors under their pillow? Oh, my God. If you're looking for good fortune numbers.
Falling on an open pair of scissors is not lucky either.
Mm-hmm. If you're looking for good fortune in Brazil, there are certain objects that can help you. A porcelain elephant will bring you good luck, and a pot of rock salt in a corner of your house or hotel room, as the case may be, will keep bad luck at bay. Indeed, salt is associated with good luck in many parts of the world, and it is said to bring prosperity and protection, perhaps because it is a preservative and curative used in ancient times. Although the spilling of salt is said to bring bad luck, it is easy to counteract. Just throw a pinch of salt over your left shoulder. You know why? I heard that's supposed to keep the devil away. Mm-hmm. Here it says it's also to undo misfortune. It doesn't say. Anyway, we'll go back to the phones and we'll see. We have some time left in the show here to take a few more callers. Paul, where are we going next?
Going to New York. We've got Maria on the line, Douglas.
Hello?
Hello, Maria.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. I'm okay.
I'll carry you. I got a question, if you don't mind. So you could give a message for my husband, my mother, father, anybody coming. Please.
Okay, did you get that, Doug?
Message from her mother or father, I believe.
Do you get anything from her mother and father?
My husband, too.
Doug?
And her husband, too, yes.
Yeah. I remember we were getting some messages from your mom and dad. He was dancing, and your mom was making some, I see her making bread. She's wearing, rubbing her hands in an apron. And they're dancing together, actually. So whatever you've done recently, they're happy about. And I think good fortune is coming your way because mom and dad are up there in heaven dancing away. They're together. Your husband is sitting off to the side, and he's sitting in a big chair. He's wearing a black suit. He has a black jacket and pants on, and he's watching everything. He's watching over you, but he's not moving. He's just sitting there. So I think he's just keeping an eye on you. What do you think of that?
Very nice.
But mom and dad, did you go back to Portugal this summer?
Italy? Was it Italy or Portugal?
Did you?
Oh, in Italy, not Portugal.
Okay. No, I'm so sorry.
I'm in Provincia Palermo.
Yeah. Oh, Palermo, I'm so sorry. You went there and saw the family, yes?
Yes, yes. I went. You think I'm going to go again this year?
I think so. Maybe that's why your husband's keeping an eye on you, but I think that's why mom and dad are so happy and dancing around, because it was good to get the family together again. But I can see you. It looks like there's a lot of people. I think when you go, it's going to be busy. There's going to be a lot of people wanting to go there. When are you thinking of going? In August or something? Or when?
I'm thinking maybe September.
Okay. Well, that's close. I was getting August, so August, September would be a good time to go. But there will be a lot of people traveling then, too.
So. Yeah, and especially August. Are you still going to buy the house the way I used to born? Or not the tunnel near the water?
I'm sorry, Maria. Are you going to buy a house in New York, you mean? Or over
no,
there?
In Italy.
In Italy.
They're gonna sell the house the way I was born.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the
you
family's gonna sell the house.
Right. You think I'm gonna buy it? I'm gonna buy it back. I'm gonna buy the house where I was born.
Well, it would be really a good idea to, you know, for your history to have it, but it would be too expensive for you, Maria. I think. I would really think about it really as being somewhat, you know, unless you're going to move there, which I don't think you are, but I'm seeing you. I'm looking at your face, and you got your hand in the air, like, oh, could be. You know, you're giving me the Italian hand in the air kind of thing. So I'm going to say the opportunity is going to be there for you to buy it, but I'm not sure if you're going to or not. Does that make sense?
Maybe it makes sense that I say maybe not the tunnel. The name is the college Tufalo near the water. Small house.
Yeah.
You think I'm going to buy over there?
You got to watch out. Well, that's why I say it looks like it's possible for you to do that, but I don't get it clearly. You may or you may not, but it looks like you're going to seriously consider it, which is, I guess, what you're doing now.
That's it.
So I don't see a clear answer for you, Maria, but it's possible. Like, would you be buying it with somebody else in the family or just yourself?
I'm going to buy it with my daughter.
Okay. That's why I'm saying this.
If my daughter, she's
going
to make it that kind of money work it, to help me out.
Well, I can see your daughter's really busy, and she's almost like she's got lots of things going on, so she's going to be happy where she is. And I guess, is she in America? Is she in New York too?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she's going to be really busy, and I can see her really paying attention to her career, and she's doing very, very well. So, and that's answering the question if she's interested in buying the place with you or you buying it for her. She might be so busy that she doesn't want to leave New York, but I think by this time next year it'll be a little clearer as to whether she wants to go to Italy or stay or own a place there. It would be nice to do it, but I would say I'm not getting a clear image of it right now. So I would say it's going to take some serious consideration how often you're going to be there and how much it's going to cost. Would you have somebody in Italy taking care of the place might be the problem.
Yeah, somebody going to take care of it for me over there. I got a family over there. My family,
well,
they're going to take care of it. And then
they
know. Well,
I'm going
to
say it's.
I wait the money over here for my husband that's supposed to give it to me. Maybe I can buy it by myself. You see it? As I get it soon.
Okay, I'm saying it's very possible for you to do this. Okay? It's possible. But you might change your mind, but it's possible. Okay?
Thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Maria. I know we've been talking for a few years now, off and on the radio. So it's good to hear that your family's doing okay. But your mom and dad are really happy above. So maybe that means that you're going to buy the place and their blessing. But you're welcome.
Thank you. My husband is going to watch over. You know, sometimes I hear noise, or sometimes I see the light opening by itself. Sometimes I feel somebody like put a hand on top of my hair.
Like you're pulling your hair a little bit. Yeah. That's your husband or somebody letting you know they're there. Mm-hmm.
It feels
like they're running their fingers through the top of your hair on the top of your head. I know.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's him. That's him.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you. Nice to see you. Take care. God bless you.
You're welcome. God bless you back.
Thank you.
Paul, we have a little time left in the show. Where are we going next?
We're going back to New York, Douglas, and Catherine is on the line.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Catherine.
Oh, no, my name's Linda.
So far,
hi.
So good.
We go on now, which... Hello?
Okay. There we go.
Catherine.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, Catherine. We have an echo.
Can you hear me?
We can. Yeah.
Oh, fabulous.
We have an echo.
Is that better? I took you off speakers. Is that better?
That's mucho better. Yes, that's the one.
Oh,
okay.
Fabulous. Happy New Year to all of you.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. I was wondering, please, if you have any messages for me regarding work. I applied for a company. I have projects I want to get going. Just anything you might be sensing around work, I'd greatly appreciate.
Do you have any... tonight's show is about superstitions. Do you have any superstitions in particular?
Oh, boy. I have a ton, and I'm trying to break away from them. I do, and I always try to just think as long as I shift my energy, like, okay, like a big thing is I'm Italian, like your last caller. So a big thing for us is the evil eye. Like, you know, you don't tell anybody anything because they're giving you the, yeah, good luck with you. And they're really saying, you know, I hope you, you know, rot and fail and have a miserable life. So, like, you'll see a lot of people wearing red or doing, like, devil horns behind their back to, like, signify, like, I'm giving it back to you, the evil eye that you're giving me, you know? I could talk to you for another hour
amazing.
About superstitions.
that's what the show's all about. Wow. So that sounds like you've got a pretty good handle on super. I never heard about the one dressing in red other than maybe New Year's or something like that.
Red is against the evil eye. Yeah, or like you'll see like with the red, like some people wear a red like little ribbon around their wrist. Yeah. Yeah. I have
I didn't
lot,
know
you know, the umbrella ones, you know, of course. Hats, don't put hats or shoes on a table or a bed.
I remember don't put your shoes under your bed because that's going to chase away somebody or you won't get married or something, is that right? No.
The one I know about getting married is don't sweep somebody's feet. If you sweep somebody's feet, you're like, yeah, you're saying like, I hope you don't get married. Yeah, or they're pushing away your group. Sweep with a broom.
When you sweep, you mean with, you take the broom across and sort of dust off
right.
your shoes kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that one.
Yeah. Don't open up this can of worms with me. This is terrible.
Oh,
I've been
should have
trying
had you
to pursue it.
Oh,
you
know. Catherine, we should have had you on the first of the show. I wouldn't have had to go through all that dialogue. This is amazing.
Next time you have my number, call me if you want to do it again.
Okay. In Italy, speaking of weird superstitions involving unlucky days, in Italy, Friday the 17th is always bad news, according to what I got here. This is why you basically shouldn't do anything on that day. That's a valid one?
Yeah. I always ask my mom, I'll say, should I do something on the 16th or the 17th? She says, 16th.
Yeah, but don't celebrate anything on the 17th. Okay, how about this one? For heaven's sakes, do not wear any purple. Are you getting paler and you are getting paler and paler because you're reading this on Friday the 17th at a wedding wearing your very best purple suit? Don't worry, you can easily combat your bad luck if you're a woman. Touch your left breast with your right hand and whatever they said, touch it for luck. If you're a man, just go and touch your, well, maybe they don't. So
in the blue.
So is that true not to wear purple?
Where are you leading with this?
I don't have anything with the purple, but what that reminded me of was something, another Italian thing, you touch something that's metal for good luck, like they don't knock on wood, you touch something that's metal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and other things kind of along those body parts you were mentioning.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I never read that until this moment. I was just read the top part of the paragraph, and then it goes, don't touch your breast, and then touch something else, and if you're a man, and it's like, whoa, I should have read this whole thing. But that's, hey, that's Italian, right? That's Italian.
Yeah.
When I went to high school, I had an affinity with a lot of people were from Europe, Greek and Italian guys, and I had an affinity with Italian guys. Apparently, I was an old Roman in a previous lifetime, but I got along really well. You know, they taught me all those nice words.
You look Italian.
Yeah,
that's a compliment,
hey,
by the way.
Hey, yeah, of course. Hey, Paisan. Hey. And then they told me some other words that I can't repeat on the air, but I didn't know at the time. But I figured, hey, what are you trying to do to me here? Hey, you know. Anyway, it's a pleasure to talk with you, Catherine. What else you want to know? You should have had to, should have called you in the first day show. It's dynamite here. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I was just wondering, any work? Like, okay, see, I was just telling somebody about one of my projects. I was trying to shift the energy because I was thinking that. I was like, oh, I hope he's not going to be envious and try to give me the bad eye on it. Because he's Italian, too. So maybe I should just ask you that.
I've been to Italy. I came in from the north through Como, went down to Milano, drove all around the place, never went to Rome. I didn't want to go to Rome.
Aww.
But I drove all around Milano, and then I stayed over in Como and went back into Switzerland. And here's a tip. When we were coming in from Switzerland into Italy, we drove down the road. I was driving the car, and my friend Andy was with me. And there was no checkpoint. Okay, no checkpoint.
Okay.
And so we, for a while. And then when we get down, I get down to a certain part. Here's a lone man in a brown uniform, and he's got a half of a hobby horse, you know, sort of like a barricade, just half. And there's kids playing soccer off to the side. And there's glass all over the road. And apparently the shelter that he was at had glass. Somebody knocked it all out. And so it's still all over. We had to sort of watch our way going through this glass. And he comes up to the window and got a big T on the windshield. And he says, Americano? And I said, no, I'm Canadian. And he goes, oh, Canadiano, go ahead. That was it. So that was the big check. So I'm reminiscing a little bit, but as we're going down the road, all of a sudden I notice on the side of the road, you know, there's brick walls that are about 2 feet tall and they're about 2 feet thick, and there's stones. And they've been there forever. And as we're going along, you could see where a car had driven through the wall and went down the embankment. Okay, so I see that and I go, gee, they're going to have to fix that soon. But I know there's some grass growing around it. And I'll speed the story up by saying two or three times this was happening. And then I see that there's weeds and flowers growing down on the stone wall to the left side of the car against the hill. And I'm getting angry. I'm driving along, never been to Italy before in this life, and I'm getting angry. Look at this. Why aren't they taking care of the country? How can they do this? And my friend Andy leaned over. He said, Douglas, you've never been here before in your life. What are you getting so angry about? And I realized, holy moly, I was getting angry because when I was there last time, it may have been in a little better condition. So that was my wake-up call that I really had. Some past life reference there. But I was getting really angry because they weren't fixing stuff. It was, you know, it's, anyway. So I reminisce a little bit.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
I actually had a similar experience. That's so weird. In Rome. I went there for the first time, and I went with cousins. that lived there, and somebody asked my cousin who was driving from there, oh, how do we get to so-and-so place? And my cousin's like, truthfully, I don't know. Do you know that I told them? I had never
you
been
there
before.
You answered it, really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In this life.
In this life.
You've never been there before in this life. Yeah. Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, no, I love Rome. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to be busy and this life and, you know, you're calling from New York. You know, are you thinking of moving out of New York? Or are you looking to go, you know, a little further west or something like that? Are you thinking
I love California too. Yeah, I love either California or Rome. Or I love beaches is the thing. And yeah, I'm kind of landlocked in my section of New York here. It's nice, don't get me wrong. But yeah, I feel like I want new, you know. Just a change.
Well, that's what
I was. And the beach.
Yeah, that's what I'm picking up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go to Spain, and you'll love the beaches there. Spain and Italy
have
this close symbiotic experience, so you might want to go there.
Ah, I'll have to try. I'll look into Spain. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, Barcelona, and then any place further south. Alicante down to Oaxaca, anywhere along there, you'll find that there's a lot of Italian people there, and that there's this, you know, just you feel comfortable there. So the reason I asked if you wanted to move away from New York is that I can see that you might want to pull up stakes somewhere, but I don't see it urgently done. You're just going to feel the need to get away from people. You're going to want more wide open spaces or something like that. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe you're going to look to Texas or along the southern coast as opposed to the west coast. But you would do well in California, that's for sure.
I would really like that. Just I want to be more involved in media. You know, I'm praying for that. Like a job in California would be fantastic to get me out there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to apply.
Yes.
That's the first step. But once you do that, then the commitment's there, and then the doors will open for you. It's going to be a pretty good year for you, I think. You know, you're a dynamic person, but you've got to aim higher.
You.
You're thinking, you know, someday or, you know, I'll do that. But no, now's the time. You're running out of time to make your change. Now you got to do it right away.
Oh, that's. That really resonates. Yeah, I've been burnt in the past too, so I've been trying to play it small, but I guess just get over it.
No,
and,
you're right. If you fail and you get up, that's called success. If you fail and you don't get up, that's called failure. And everybody, if you if you follow people's lives, you'll see that the most successful people always went bankrupt, had major difficulties, were in great difficulty, but the one thing they continued and they learned from all those mistakes. The people who got it easy lost in the end. They were swindled or they fell from great heights. So anyway, I'm trying to light a fire under here, and whoever else is in your place there walking around, maybe is in agreement with me that, the place is, the time is now. The place is out west or someplace else, but give it a shot this year.
Yes. I'm wondering, do you think a friend of mine, Bruce, who has a lot of connects out there, might be the starting point, or Jonathan, perhaps? Jonathan or Bruce, one of them might help me out.
Well, my advice is not to count on anybody, because then you'll them favors, and then you feel restricted. The best is to go out there by yourself and say, hey, I can do this. And before you go there, you can apply for jobs overline and stuff like that.
It's
not far away online, and you don't need anybody.
Thank you. Thank you, and I'll give you a another superstition. When you mentioned Spain, it came to me. I heard that bees only, I think this is a Spanish one, bees only land on sweet people is another one. So maybe everybody who's getting stung by a bee, sweet people. Yeah, like
on
honey.
Sweet people? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's absolutely correct. Yeah, those Spanish bees are pretty smart.
Yeah.
Spanish bees are
pretty smart. That was worth repeating, definitely.
Alexa, shut up. Oops. You could hear Alexa commenting on bees, right?
Yeah,
so she must have heard the question. I have a little monitor. So, okay, well, listen, we got to go. Nice pleasure talking with you. And, you know,
pleasure's all
if you're
going to
do something, do it. Okay, if you're going to do something, do it.
Yeah.
Don't depend on anybody because you'll be edited. You'll owe somebody. You'll be unrestricted if you do it yourself. And so, and if you win, you're successful, then you're successful all by yourself and you don't pull favors or whatever. And if you don't, well, then you'll learn real fast. It's better to make your own mistakes than ask people for advice and make mistakes on behalf of them. But when you go someplace and you have clearly in mind and you're gung-ho, something always turns up. Always.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
Because you know it's going to end up well. So.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Thank
you. Okay,
Catherine.
Oh. Adios.
Much love and blessings. Thank you.
How do you say goodbye in Italian again? Is it I've forgotten.
Arrivederci. Or ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao is hello
Bella,
and goodbye.
Ciao Bella, Bella Ciao, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I'm getting it
That's
back.
A song, too. Very good. Bravo, bravo. Molto bene. Arrivederci
okay,
in Roma.
Arrivederci.
Ciao.
Okay. Ciao. Bella Ciao.
Ciao.
Okay, we're having fun, everybody. We're going to take, thank you, and good luck wherever you end up, okay? Take care, Catherine. Okay, we're going to have a short break, and we'll be right back. And I think we have, we're going to go to Arizona next, it looks like. Well, we'll be right back after this.
For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at the New Age Health Guide. On sale now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must-read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom. It's Friday the 13th, and you're listening to The Global Village with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Now back to the show.
And you're listening to the Global Village Radio Show, being broadcast worldwide from London, Ontario, Canada. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, and with me tonight is my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley. This is the show tonight, Superstitions and the Power of Mass Suggestion, and superstitions from around the world, as we've gone into, and thank you to that contribution from Catherine in New York. We had hands-on a treasure trove of Italian superstitions, from the evil eye on down to wearing purple and touching yourself in different parts of your body during weddings and how to protect yourself from evil. And also the one I did not know, not to sweep somebody's feet with a broom or you're going to sweep all their good luck away. Welcome back to the show, Doug. We have a little bit left to go in the show here. We're going to go, I think, Paul, are we heading on to Arizona next, or where are we going?
Yes, we've got Melinda on the line from Arizona.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Hi, Gartel. And 2013 is one of my favorites. I do have a question, but I had to say something. For me, 2013, I look at it like a remake of Halloween because we got Jason, Friday the 13th, great movies in the 80s here in America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if people who like Halloween should celebrate it again on the Friday, on the 13th. And then not only that, we had the Wolf Moon. So what is your intake? I know you're talking about superstition. And, of course, I have a question, but please do. Thank you. Friday the 13th is my favorite.
Wow, you're one of those folks that has a good time on the 13th, like our friend Doug. That's good for you. I think it's all in your mind, basically. You know, it's just an attitude like the bikers. They have their weekend get-together on every Friday the 13th. It gives them an excuse to take their motorcycles and go off to a certain town that they visit all the time. And, you know, I've never really had any misfortune on the 13th myself that I can ever remember. But just the idea when somebody says, oh, look out, Friday the 13th. And now it's kind of like, yeah, Friday the 13th. You know, it's passe. But, again, I know people who in sports, they wanted the number 13. They thought that was their protection number, a fortuitous number. And it's good to hear that you get along on the 13th as well. Good for you. But you're right.
Yes.
All those horror movies, you know, oh, my gosh, Friday the 13th and chainsaws. Okay. That's not up to any good. But anyway, you know, so thank you for that, Melinda. What's on your mind?
I have a question, please. Thank
any
you
more?
So much. For Friday the 13th?
No, go ahead. Go with the question.
Oh, yeah. I'll get back to that because, as a matter of fact, when I'm done, I'm going to go back watching Friday the 13th. So, really, I am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I'm watching it on Netflix.
I misunderstood. You're actually watching it now while the show's going on. I get it. Okay. Wow,
yeah.
What a coincidence that is. Oh, God.
Just
yeah.
For the point of interest, if you fear it, Friday the 13th is just a double dose for people who fear the number 13. They're called triskaidekaphobiacs. So they stay in bed all day if they fear number 13 and it happens to be Friday the 13th. They don't take it well. But again, it's their attitude, in my opinion, which agrees with what Douglas said. You know, if you have the right attitude.
Well,
Friday,
that's a good point,
I always said, no matter what happens on Friday, I have 2 days to recover, so it doesn't bother me.
Well, that's right up there, Doug, with those people who live on the 13th floor of an apartment building that's actually numbered number 14. There is no number 13 floor. But they live on the 13th floor, but they call it 14 just for that. But anyway, yeah, that's a good point. Double 13. And people who are afraid of the Friday 13th say, I met one a long time ago. They wouldn't go out of their house. That was amazing. But anyway, Melinda is in Arizona, and the weather is okay over there, I guess, right? You don't get any rain? Any storm?
Yes, it's breathing fresh air, and letting sunlight in. Right now there's no sunlight, but it's nighttime. But yeah, definitely keep the energy going positive. And I do have a question.
Excellent.
Thank you so much. Friday the 13th. Yes, I don't really. I like Halloween, so I look at it as a positive.
Yeah.
I'm nuts.
Yeah, apparently you
face
do.
Face your fears. Anyway.
What's the question?
Yeah. So I kind of need to know because there's an intervention into clues here. And there's this person with a friend of mine, and this person here, the female, projecting some, like, I am blocking and all that, but projecting negative energy. I like to know what is the outcome between those two people down the road, like, can you doing the same type of business or do they go separate ways? Because all they're doing now, one of them is saying that and the other one of legal action towards each other, and then they forgive each other, and then they do some dumb thing in the internet. It looks like a cartoon where they have on the, you know. Well, you understand what I'm trying to tell you. I'd like to know. Yeah.
It's a never-ending love-hate relationship. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it's healthy for anybody to go through that, but I basically want to look at the outcome of the future, if this ends. Do they end? There we go. Right to the point. In the future.
Okay. In the future, you want to know this love-hate relationship where, as I understand you correctly, they get along and then all of a sudden they hate each other and want to sue each other. Then they get along and they make up. And is that what you said?
Yeah, and some of the stuff that she swears some ancient things, like, for now we do superstition here. Like some of the ancient stuff she used, I cannot say ancient, and then she breaks it, and then she asks forgiveness. Like it's like how you break a curse of the mummy. A superstition, right? And she does it a lot.
Yeah.
I just want to know. It's just like,
okay.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't wake up a mummy curse. Stay away.
Yeah, well, what I'm getting here, when I hear you talking, the images coming to my mind, you see people that are in fierce competition with each other. It's a traditional love-hate, jealousy kind of relationship. When one dies, the other one will grieve. But I just see their faces getting red. And I think when they were younger, they were either pitted against one another or something happened. And I think even in a previous experience, which is where this probably came from, they were fierce. I can see swords and fighting, not gladiators, but like brothers in the same castle in Poland or someplace like that, fiercely fighting over property. And, of course, they killed each other and didn't get anything. So I can see this fierce, almost deep inside of them, this jealousy, this if one seems to be getting an advantage, the other one just blows up. So to answer your question, is this healthy? No, it's not. It's shortening the life of both of them. And sooner or later, started off on a lily pad 10,000 years ago, two frogs fighting over a fly. And then it comes through different times. They've been fighting for centuries. So to no advantage whatsoever. But when they... when one dies, the other one is, has got nobody to fight with, so they grieve, and it's just like really, they're handcuffed, so to speak, emotionally, and you're right about sometimes they do things like, they have a very expensive piece of furniture, they'll break it, or a vase or something, think nothing of destroying it, and because material things don't mean that much in that moment of rage. So I got some people with some pretty serious imbalances here emotionally. certainly would need a lot of professional counseling. Certainly would need somebody to say, okay, what is it between you two? Why do you hate this person over here? And why do you see hate in another person? Because they that whatever it was way back in time past is they probably don't know if that's the point where they hated each other, but won't be together. You know, they want to, you know, always coming together, like a binary soul kind of thing. I don't know. My mind's just showing me these images, and I got my eyes closed as I'm talking here. So does that make sense?
Yeah, all that makes sense. Do you have, like, a final outcome? Like, I know, like, do you see, like, that they're splitting because sometimes they're going to completely end their friendship, whatever they have going on? It's mm-hmm. my male friend with the because that lady claims to be a saint, and I really think that needs professional help, like you said, and he believes it, or he tries to go along with it.
Well, the answer is to get to that point, whatever that is. You know, even somebody doing some past life regression stuff might help them. But they've been doing it for a long time. It's kind of like, you know, there's two, have you ever seen a couple, two people, they love each other, and then you walk into their house in the middle of a fight, and you think, oh, my God, I just walked into a war zone here. And then you call up the next day, and you say, you know, is anybody alive? And you say, yeah, we're in bed having champagne and orange juice. Yeah, oh my God, how can that be? But that's how some people are. Anyway, what's your concern? What's your connection?
It's my male friend, and it's a business thing that he has going on, and they just like to know, like, you see, like, that departing, like, because he said that later on things may not be the same, but he told me once that they were going to split, but he doesn't know when. You don't have time for that, but I'd like to know, if do you see that in the future? Are you able to go to the tunnel and see that in the future? It may not be a month or two or three. It may be a year. Maybe.
Well, I sort of came up with this, you know, love-hate relationship. I don't see really. If you're asking me, do I see them splitting up? No, I see them dying. Okay, that's when they split up. One will die, and then the other. But I don't see that happening for a while. But I don't see them, you know, cashing in and going their separate ways. They just can't stay away from one another. It's amazing. It's like magnets. They keep coming right back.
I saw the two of them are attached by a short bungee cord. They move away and then they come back. They can't leave one another alone. So that's just what I saw. So
why would he say that? Is he like lying, or maybe it's not being clear? It's like a cloudy. Things can manifest.
When she's talking to you?
No. To you. I'm asking you a question. Like he said, future can change. The future can change, never guaranteed. Because she had threatened him already with court and the most awful law. And things have changed. Because he is my friend. And then she gets jealous because he talks to me. And then I know he has interest in me, but I challenge him because I stay away. I literally take long to develop a relationship. I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in a rush. I'm not dying for it. And most certainly, I would not accept that.
Well, my advice is you're in the middle of a triangle, and you're, whether you want to be or not, it's really hard to not take sides. And if you talk to one, the other one gets really angry with you. And if you talk to that one, then the first one gets angry with you. So this is why in situations like this, friendships are, you know, they dissolve. So I can't, it's just you have to work this out yourself. But with me, I would have a little talk with them and say, now look, you're both my friends, and I'm not going to discuss each other of you to the other one if you want to keep my friendship. Otherwise, I'm just not going to talk to you. I'm going to have to go my separate ways. So that's something you might have to do. Otherwise, you can just do the uh-huh. Really? You don't say uh-huh. Oh, my gosh.
Can I say something to you real quickly? I'm disappointed because on a particular day, he said that she changed completely with him. Like she's never been that way before. And then a week later, I saw a pic on the.
Yeah.
I don't have Facebook, but I just and it was her like posting some happy faces, and I was like, okay,
yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, this is love hate. This is people who are. People are like that. And it's kind of in this situation, you're looking like, well, you made a decision and now you seem to go back on it. It's because people, when they're grieving, when they have a breakup like that, they don't make it clean. And then they get thinking about the good times. And then they think they can't get along. So you'll need to talk to somebody more about that personal relationship, which as you get older, you come to see that people, as much as they dislike one another, there's some connection. They keep like coming back. They're like magnets, but it's unexplainable. Love is unexplainable. Love is a surprising, unpredictable emotion. And so when you're in the middle or you're a friend, you're not going to win, you know, like never get between two people. So if you want to, you can step aside or, you know, you can pick a side, but it's very difficult, and that's why I say sometimes you just have to go, well, look, I'm going to have a talk with you. I'm not going to take sides unless you want to. But there's no way out of this for you, and it's not your real problem. It's their problem, and trying to find out why they're having this problem, what you're doing, mission impossible. I can give you my best advice and wisdom from these things, but as you watch, you'll see this happens frequently in relationships with people. So there's no answer, really, is what I'm saying, other than for you to, you know, walk very softly. Watch out, because they'll both blame you or something or yell at you. Been there, done that.
Yeah. This is a thing real quick. You know, we're talking about superstition, that they promise each other with a god or deity, and then they act towards what they forgot to make a promise. And real quickly, your superstition is, isn't that karma?
The whole thing is karma. This is a relationship where the two of them are learning something from each other. But I can't define it for you. And, you know, here we are on radio and we're talking about two people who don't know what they're going to do about themselves next. And you're bewildered at this. And as most people are when it comes upon them the first time, there's no way out. It's but the idea is observe, and you'll see people when they have a love hate, it doesn't make sense. Why do they yell and scream at each other, and then the next thing you know, they're holding each other close? Okay, only they know. And I know to be in love is very painful. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you said that to everybody, because Valentine's Day is coming up. I hope you have a Valentine's special. I'm sure you are. And one last question on this, because it says I'm not too happy to see him. I think you said to me a month ago that you gave me a time frame. Is that still the same number or changed?
He said you could see him after a certain time. Is that what you said?
No. I asked you. Well, I want to ask, like, do you see him coming? Because we have a project, but I've been maneuvering him out of it, and it's been working. But I'm still gonna have a conversation with him. I'm still gonna see him, because it's been over 2 years now. And do you see him coming to my area?
Yeah, I can see him doing that. He'll be on guard, but I can see him standing there.
When?
Yeah. Okay.
When, please?
Not too far away. Not too far
away.
Oh,
wow.
And yeah. Okay, we got to go. We got to go now, because we're running out of time.
I want to thank you.
So, you're welcome. Keep your head down, Melinda. Okay. Stay safe. Okay, bye-bye for now.
Bye.
And there we go. Just got a few minutes left in the show tonight. Do we have any? It looks like we've been through everybody. Paul, do you have any pet superstitions yourself?
I don't have any superstitions, and I don't even think the number 13 should be superstitious. Earlier today, I looked the number up.
Good.
Related to numerology, and it's supposed to be a sacred number. It's a very karmic number in numerology, at least, associated
master
with the
number,
divine.
Yeah.
And it's said to bring good luck and prosperity to those who embrace it. In fact, many people believe that the number 13 brings about change, which can often lead to a positive outlook. So there can be new beginnings with the number 13, even today on Friday the 13th. So what I found was it says that the energies of numbers due to 1 and 3 being root numbers, and I'm not sure what root numbers, what they mean by that, but the number of the ascended masters supposedly is 1, and the number has the ability to create new ground, may lead to love relationships. So I think that sounds pretty positive, don't you, Douglas?
Well, the single-digit numbers are the so-called root numbers. Everything reduces down to the single.
Yeah.
You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The master numbers are the double numbers, 11, 12, and 13, or 11, 22, 33, 44. So numerology is more like a science than astrology being an art. And just, wow, you know. So, yeah, it sounds good to me. One's a new beginning. And 3 is, you know, creative, talkative, stuff like that. So 1 and 3 coming together is a good combination, but they add up to 4, which means you can plan something, you can talk about it, and then you have to work on it. 1, 3, 4. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not a numerologist, but I did meet a long time ago. I think the fellow's name was Knight, but John Knight or something. But he had numbers upon numbers upon numbers. Like all the vowels have a different number, and all the consonants have a different number, and the birthday number has your life path number, and all the letters in your name add up to be your personality. Or I can't remember quite too much, but they had some special meetings as well. So, yeah, and interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We'll have to do a show on numerology.
Well,
so
I won't be able to help you there as far as knowing much about it.
Well, you're number 1.
Thank you.
We're all number 1s, aren't we? Isn't that amazing?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we'll get somebody on who knows about numerology a little more than we 3 might know. So, anyway. So, any last words? We're gonna, everybody's. Remember to check out the website DouglasJamesCottrell.com and consider coming to Texas for our Hope Conference. This is the beginning of a great mission, from helping poor people and getting them food to eat, to feeding the souls of those people who are seeking, to those people who want to come and join our community, and all around the world. We'll come together at this most awesome time, this most important time, when the upcoming changes are happening. We need people to know what to do and how people can come together, because the great thing always has been service to each other, taking care of each other. Through all great civilizations and history, it's always been people, ordinary people, helping one another that made, you know, the empire great, that made the country sustain and protect itself and all its people, that got great things done. The only way we're going to get things done in this time is not by division. We're going to have to come together. So part of our mission is this Hope Conference, and you're all invited. We'll come on down to Texas in Fort Worth at in February, the 10th, 11th, and 12th, I believe it is. But check it out on my website, douglasjamescultural.com, and we'll hope to see you there. Take care, my friends. God bless you. Any last word, Doug?
I'll just tell a little personal story that relates to what we've been talking. As far as back in my life as I can remember, my mother always said, don't put shoes on the table. And I always thought, logically, that because, you know, you don't know where your shoes have been, picking up dirt and other things. And it wasn't until very late in my life that I finally realized that she was superstitious about it. So that's just a personal story. But it took me decades to catch on.
Well, was there any, you know, any meaning to that? You know, like about, did you find out about that?
No, it just, someone told me about the superstition. And then I realized that in many ways my mother was superstitious about many things. But that was, decades later. I was well beyond my youth that time. So it is pervasive in our society. The little superstitions that people have, there are a myriad of superstitions that people have, and they dictate their lives.
Hmm. Well, according to what I just pulled up here, leaving shoes on the table is an indicator of death. This originates from the practice of honoring fatalities in the mining industry. Hmm. When a poor miner lost his life down in the pits, his family would leave his boots on the table as a tribute. There you go.
How my mother came up with that, I don't know.
Well, I would take it to mean, you know, putting your shoes on the table means that loss of life. I don't know, but maybe there was somebody in the family, right, from the old country. Maybe from Germany, you had relatives that were miners or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, last word, Paul.
Last word. I think it was a good show. And it was great Friday the 13th for me. And it sounds like it was a really good Friday the 13th for a lot of other people listening.
Well, we had fun tonight. And we learned a lot about crossing your fingers to blowing out candles. Things we do just naturally are turned out to be superstitious actions that have been going on for years. And from shoes under the bed to shoes on the table. Interesting. And our good friend, Catherine in New York with an Italian point of view, the evil eye, the purple dress, that's amazing stuff. We are people, and we are strange, and we are unique. And every time we learn a little more about each other, isn't it so interesting that all over the world we have superstitions? How is it that they came about all over the world? You know, many different types of superstitions, but how is it that people are superstitious? Just amazing. Anyway, we'll see about coming up with a numerologist here, and we'll see what happens when we get closer and closer to Valentine's Day. Maybe we could have like a lineup selection numerology with Find Your Soulmate. Is it compatible to have people with the same life path number? Let's find out next time. For Paul and Doug, I'm Douglas James Cottrell, signing off tonight. On this Friday the 13th, which seems to be a very fortuitous day. Price of gold went up $20. Inflation seems to be on the mend. People are getting along. We're doing okay all over the world, even though there is conflict and there are people at war. Let's Friday the 13th be a fortuitous Friday 13th for you and I, my friends. God bless. See you at the Hope Conference, I hope. DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Go there right now and sign up. We'll be right back. Sorry, won't be right back. We'll see you next week, same time, here on the Global Village Radio Show. Good night, everyone. Good night, Doug. Good night, Paul.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village International Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindProbe Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell and Associates Incorporated. Copyright 2022, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.